Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Brother Kelly Harrop. I'd like to thank you all for calling in, walking in the footsteps of Jesus Ministries. And those who will be downloading this program later, we all welcome you as well. Tonight we have Johnny Embry, who's going to speak for us tonight. And Johnny, would you like to lead us off in prayer?
Oh, absolutely, brother. I would be just, it's an honor and a privilege to be with you tonight, to be, ministering to all of the listeners. And yes, we will begin with prayer. Father, in the name of your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we just come boldly before the throne of grace, making our petitions known this evening. Lord Jesus, we just pray in the name of Jesus tonight, asking you to just touch, Lord. We ask you to move mightily this evening. We ask you to touch the heart of the listener after this evening. And may they receive, Father. May you give us a word in season, out of season, oh God, straight from the throne room of grace, Lord, that we will begin to just enter into the holiest of holies realm, where the supernatural realm begins to occur, Lord, that we will have supernatural revelation of the Holy Spirit tonight as we minister. And Lord, that the listener out there will receive through supernatural revelation through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, that they will receive straight from the throne room of grace, God, what you would have them to receive and to get to glean from the ministering, the teaching, and the preaching tonight. Lord, I just pray tonight that you will touch the heart. And Lord, if there be one lost soul out there listening to me on Blog Talk Radio tonight, that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit will begin to fall upon their heart. And through the convicting power, through conviction, Lord, that they will be convicted of their sins. They'll fall on their knees in holy repentance before God. They'll cry out and ask you to become Lord and Savior. They will repent of their sin. They will confess their sin, repent of their sin, ask you to come in, receive you, Lord Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, and become born again. Lord, if there be a soul out there that once knew you, but they backslid, they have gotten their heart caught up into the things of the world, oh Lord, into the things, oh God, Lord, the love of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, and God, they begin to walk away from you, and they don't burn with your sweet presence anymore. They don't love the reading of the Word of God anymore. They don't cry out in repentance and pray and seek your face anymore. God, I just pray that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit will begin to fall upon their heart, oh God, and that they'll be drawn to an altar of repentance, to the restoration of their soul, oh God, and they will be restored to the joy of your salvation, oh God, and they'll become filled with the Holy Ghost and fire once again, and that the Spirit of God would baptize them, immerse them into your presence once again, and they'll go past the outer, past the inner court, into the holiest of holies, at the mercy seat, he that dwelleth between the cherubims, above the ark of the covenant, Aaron's rod and budded, the books of law, the pot of manna, but most of all, the presence of your glory, God. We pray that release of that supernatural power upon the listener tonight. In Jesus' precious, holy, and wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, Brother Kelly, anything else you want to say before we get into ministry?
No, just go ahead and take it over.
All right, Brother. Well, I tell you folks, this evening, as I was sharing with Brother Kelly, I'm actually right now in the Newburgh, Indiana area of the United States. For anybody that's listening, we have to go this evening up to Evansville, Indiana. And so I want to go ahead and just minister this evening. But as I am ministering you tonight, I've been passing through Kentucky and looking at the beautiful area in the state of Kentucky and the beautiful area of the state of Indiana. And I noticed something as I was passing through. I saw the glory of God in the creation. And, you know, I want to just, the first thing I want to do is I want to start out tonight. Now, I want to give God praise, glory to this evening because, folks, sometimes I don't think that we really stop and really glorify God like we ought to do sometimes by simply just thanking him with a spirit of thanksgiving for what he has given us. Sometimes we just fail to take a moment, in our busy schedules and to look around us and just look at the great and mighty things God has given us, the skies, the beautiful skies, the beautiful fields and the trees and the hills, the greenery of the trees. You know, the Bible says the heavens declares his glory. And, you know, I just sometimes wonder, if do we take time to stop and to thank him for all that he's given us? Do we take time to thank him for the air that we breathe, for the ability to walk and to talk, and the ability to be able to spend time giving God all praise, honor, and glory for all the great, mighty things that he does for us? Do we really take time, folks, to take that time to spend and to do that? Well, I ask you tonight, do you? So as we do, you know, there's a Apostle Paul talks about in the New Testament, he says, with everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, let us make our petitions be known unto God. With everything, with prayer and thanksgiving. Prayer and thanksgiving, we must become thankful. You know, folks, I tell you, when you study the New Testament, do you know that as you study the four Gospels, we get into the four Gospels, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know, as we study his life, we study the life of Christ, one of the things that you'll notice is Jesus, basically what he did, he spent a third of his life preaching, a third of his life praying, and then a third of his life walking around traveling. But you see that he would spend time preaching, and he would spend time praying. Now, every time Jesus got ready to pray, and you saw a great miracle begin to take place, folks, if you would read and study the Word of God, and especially, you know, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and study the four Gospels, you'll notice that every time Jesus began to work a great work or perform a great miracle, he would do something. He would say a prayer. He says, I thank you, my Father. Or he would say, I'm thankful. Or he would offer up a prayer of thanksgiving. He would be thankful, thankful. He'd offer up thanksgiving or the spirit of thanksgiving in prayer. Now, that's something I'd like for us tonight to stop and to take note of. How thankful are we? Are we thankful? Do we give God praise, honor, and glory? Are we thankful for all the great and mighty things that he has done for us? Do you take time every day when you get up in the morning or when your day begins? Some of you might work an evening shift. Some of you might work a night shift, whatever. Whenever you take time, whenever you get up, whatever time your day starts, I want to ask you, folks, do you take time to thank him? Do you begin your day, when you get up, do you begin your day saying, thank you, Lord, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Do you take time to rejoice? And, folks, I'm talking about rejoicing. We got to rejoice. The Bible tells us, rejoice by choice. Don't rejoice by anything but a sovereign act of your will. Rejoice. Folks, if your rejoicing and thanksgiving is based on your surroundings, based on how you feel, based on anything other than a sovereign act of your will, folks, I'm going to tell you, there'll be times you won't thank God. You won't rejoice. You won't give him praise. You won't give him glory. You won't give him honor. But, folks, it must become a sovereign act of your will. You must make that choice. You must choose to thank the Lord. You'll say, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. If you are sick, begin to take time to rejoice and be glad and be thankful and offer up the spirit of thanksgiving. The Apostle Paul said in many of his writings, and when you read all the writings of Paul over and over, Paul says, you'll find it in the book of Corinthians, but he said, whatsoever state I find myself in, there I've learned to be content. You know, he says, with prayer and thanksgiving, as Jesus talked about, rejoice and be thankful over and over, all the way through. Whenever you look in the Old Testament times, you found that the key to the power of God and the apostles and the prophets and the people of the Old Testament, the people of the New Testament, and it was being thankful and rejoicing and choosing to rejoice by choice. With that said, folks, I want to ask you, you know, throughout the day, do you take time to glorify God? Do you take time to rejoice? Do you take time to pray? Now, every day, whenever you get up on the night, you know, when you get up in the mornings or whenever you get up, as I said earlier, what you do first, now most of us, if you're like me, Jonah and I first get up, I find a cup of coffee. If you're like many people I know, it's a cup of coffee or it's something that, you know, well, that you begin to do to help you to begin to wake up and face the day. But, what folks, I want to ask you, what do you do? Do you run to the television or do you go to your telephone? You know, many times, especially in our day and age, usually what we do is we find some kind of source of news media and we see what the news is for the day. Or we look at what our messages is for the day. Or we look into whatever it is that's going to determine what we're going to do for that day. I want to ask you, do you take time to pray and ask the Lord Jesus to guide you and lead you and show you what to do for that day? Do you take time to get into the Word of God? Do you take time to pick up the Word of God, whatever how you read it, and begin to read and study the Word of God and pray and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to begin to guide you and lead you and direct you? You know, there's a verse of Scripture, Brother Kelly, that says, the steps of a righteous man is orchestrated by God. Folks, did you know that? The steps of a righteous man is orchestrated by God. So do you allow the Holy Spirit to orchestrate your day, orchestrate your steps, give you leadership and direction? Do you ask the Holy Spirit? You say, now, Lord, today, this day, as I face this day, the first thing I ask you to do, or the first thing I do is I thank you for giving me life. I thank you for this day. I rejoice. Do you lift up your hands and you say, Lord, I thank you with a spirit of thanksgiving. You've given me another day to live because this day is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will be glad. And I will live for you this day. Lord, I now live this life I now live is not my own. This is not my own life because remember, folks, you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your mortal clay bodies. Therefore, do you begin your day by glorifying God and asking him to lead you, guide you, direct you? And do you ask him, Lord, will you allow my life to glorify you? Will you allow my life today to be a witness and a testimony? For we are an open epistle read of all. Did you hear me? We as born-again believers, we are an open epistle read by all. Our life is the love letter of God to the world, folks. Whenever we see our lives, whenever we live our lives daily throughout the day, whenever we are walking and talking, we may be the only Bible other people may read. You may be the only Word of God. Your life, let me say that again. Your life may be the only Word of God that the people you come in contact with throughout that day, it may be the only Word of God that people give. Do you, everywhere you go, does your life reflect the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a mirror reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Does the people around you see Christ in you, the hope of glory? Do you begin your day by saying, God, let me be a witness and a testimony throughout this day. God, let me be honor and let my life honor you. When others see me today, let them not see me, but let them see Christ in me, the hope of glory. Let everybody around me see Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I know what, let me die. I must decrease that you must increase. Do you pray that prayer when you begin to give up in the morning and you begin to go out your day? You say, Lord, today, let me decrease that you must increase. Let me begin to die that you might live. I am crucified with Christ, yet I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live is not my own. Do you pray that prayer daily when you get up in the morning? Do you say, Lord, let the steps of a righteous man are orchestrated by God? Do you ask him to let you be the musical instrument? Remember, the orchestra is talking about an orchestra, and it's talking about someone who is the orchestra over an orchestra. Are you Maestro, you know, I believe it is, if I'm saying that right, Pastor, or Maestro, you know, the organ, the one that sits there, and he begins to take his hand, and he begins to musical orchestra. He begins to play, and he will point to the ones, and there's the tubas, and there's the violins, and there's the saxophones, and there's the trumpets, you know, and he begins to masterfully begin to orchestrate the orchestra. And folks, you must understand that we are a musical instrument of God. Does the praises of God come out of us as the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord and Savior? Does he masterfully orchestrate our lives, folks? Does the Lord Jesus Christ, do we allow the Lord Jesus Christ to masterfully orchestrate our lives? Do we allow him? Folks, tonight I ask you, as your day, as you live your life throughout the day, do you let Jesus orchestrate your life? Do you let Jesus begin to be the one? Do you look to the author and finisher of salvation throughout your day? And do you allow his word? Now you say, well, Lord, Brother Embry, how in the world would I do that? By beginning your day reading and studying the word of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and direct you, direct your feet, direct your path. You begin to let him speak to your heart and tell you where to go, what to do. Now, it may be that you go to your job. It may be that you have a normal routine throughout that day that you normally do. But it does not mean that you do not allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you with whatever you got to do. Now, there are, absolutely, I know there's people listening out there that you have set things you've got to do. Absolutely, I understand. You've got probably every day a certain schedule that you have to follow to some degree. But that does not mean that you do not allow the Holy Spirit to orchestrate your steps on that schedule that you have. You still allow the Holy Spirit. You let the Holy Spirit orchestrate your steps. Even though you may have to stick to your schedule, wherever you go, whatever you do, whoever you see, what you still do is you say, Lord, put somebody in my path as I follow my schedule throughout this day, as you begin your day. You say, put somebody in my path. And you read and study the word of God right off, because God may give you a word, and that word may be for you throughout the day, or that word may be for somebody that you come in contact with. That word may be meant for somebody else. And what you do is you ask the Holy Spirit, now lead me and guide me. And then you say, Holy Spirit, quicken me when put me in the steps of somebody. You may walk in, you may be on your way, on your schedule, following your schedule on your way to work. And you may have to stop at a certain convenience store, and you may go in there and you have to get gas or pick up something, and all at once the clerk there may be having a horrible day. God may have been dealing with that clerk's heart, and all at once you're standing there, and the Holy Spirit quickens your heart and says, now give them that word and tell them I love them, or give them the word and tell them Christ loves you, Jesus loves you, God has a plan for your life, just obey him. The Holy Spirit might quicken you just to give that person a word, and you give them, you just, all at once, you just give that person that word, and the next thing you know, they burst out and start crying like a baby, and tears pour out, and said, oh my God, and I needed to hear that, because you obeyed God, because you listened to the Holy Spirit, because you began your day allowing the Holy Spirit to orchestrate your step, because you become the musical instrument of God, that the voice of God, the beautiful, the praise, because then, and we praise him in you, the fruit of our lips, the voice of praise. Remember, what does it say? Lift up your hands in evening sacrifice, the fruit of your lips, the voice of praise. You praise him, you worship him, you honor him, you glorify him, the majesty of his presence, and so you let your voice begin to just go, and you praise him, and you spend your day praising him. Folks, I'm going to tell you, you unlock the supernatural power of God by the fruit of your lip, the voice of praise. We unlock the supernatural power of heaven. Why does it say, I quoted it earlier, lift up your hands and evening sacrifice. Lift up your voice, the fruit of your lips, the voice of praise, and begin to praise him and to worship him. Now, if you're driving down the road, You may not be able to lift both hands, but you know what? You know what you can do? You got, there's all kinds of means of having praise and worship music. Put on praise and worship music. Sing to yourself. You know, praise and worship yourself. Lift up your voice, you know, the fruit of your lips, the voice of praise. Praise Him. Worship Him. Honor Him. Glorify Him. Pray. When me and my daughter, we drive around and we're walking around, we're driving around, you know what we do? We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ out loud. You begin to pray. Just pray. Worship Him. Seek His face. Let the glory of His presence just manifest in your car, in your vehicle, wherever you go, whatever you do. When you get on the job, begin to seek His face and let the Holy Spirit begin to just move upon your heart and just speak the Word of God. Folks, I'm telling you, and you say, well, Brother Johnny, somebody will think I'm crazy. Well, you know what? I don't care if somebody thinks I'm crazy. I'm crazy for Jesus. You know what? The things of this world, the things of God is foolishness to this world. Did you know that the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to this world? Listen to me, folks. I want to say this again. God chose the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel to save the world. Did you know that the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible declares, is foolishness to the world, the flesh, the devil, and the world? But people already think it's foolishness, folks. I'm talking about lost and in the world. So, you know, and we worry about what other people think about this. Sometimes people will worry about what other people think. But, folks, why? Why, if your life is hidden in Christ Jesus, they see Christ in you, the hope of glory. They shouldn't be seeing you in the first place. If you're worried about what somebody else thinks of you, other than making sure that they see Christ in you, now, you want them to see Christ in you. But usually, if they, folks, let me say this, and I want you to get this. Please catch what I'm saying to you. Generally, if you be hid in Christ, if your life is hid in Christ, and Christ be in you, and you're walking in the Holy Spirit, I want to give you a reality of truth. It never truly becomes really an issue of worrying about what other people think, because you're already, did you hear me? You're already walking in the footsteps of Jesus. You're already walking in the presence of God. You're already walking, and your steps are already being orchestrated by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're not even worried about what other people think, because there's no need to be worried about what other people think, because that is not what is really in your mind. That is not what is in your spirit. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit leading you and guiding you is all that you are worried about. And if the steps of you being a righteous man or a righteous woman, if your steps are being orchestrated by God, if your steps are being led by God, then you have no need or concern of what other people think, because you're already doing what the Holy Spirit says anyway. The only time we're really worried about what other people think, folks, is when we get ourselves caught up in the Christian pride and Christian arrogance. That is the dictate of the modern day church. Folks, I'm going to tell you, the modern day church of the Lord, I say this, and I don't mean to be judgmental, but I want you to understand, folks, there's a very, very sad reality of the modern day church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that sad reality absolutely is this, folks. That sad reality is this. In the modern day Christianity, what we have going on now in the world is a Christianity that is all about me. It's all about nothing but self-help, me, I, me, I, me, I. And therefore, we're always worried about me, I. And you know, folks, I want you to understand something. If we would allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, you don't have to worry about you. God said, God has obligated Himself to take care of us. He said, take no thought for what you shall say, for in that same self-fire shall be given thee. What shall ye say? Jesus was talking about, whenever He was talking about God would provide for us, He said, whenever you go out, He told His disciples as they went out into the world, as the disciples was going out into the world, and he sent them out into the world. He said, take no thought. He said, take no personal script. He said, for the Heavenly Father will provide what you need. He said, rather, He said, just trust in Him. He said, look at the sparrows, the birds of the air, the sparrows and the beasts of the field and the grass in the field and the lilies and the flowers. He said, you know, has God not provide for all these? And He said, are you not better than they are? Therefore, take no thought. for these things, but rather obey the voice of God, but rather seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added thereunto you. Let me say that again. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added thereunto you. So if we will learn to seek ye first the kingdom of God, remember, as I began this preaching and teaching, and I will keep on saying it again, remember what I said to you, as you get up in the mornings and you seek God, is your day led of the Holy Spirit? Do you seek ye first the kingdom of God? Then if you are, everything will be added unto you. You know, we live in a day and an age where that we have our lives so completely dictated by this world, by the flesh, the devil in the world, by everything around this world, everything of this world, folks. Our world, it's a sad reality of truth, but our world is just so completely dictated these days, folks, that every day we get up, usually what we do is we like, well, we got to go to work because I got to get our bills paid. And that's true. Yes, that's true. We got to get up and we got to go to work. But we don't have to let those things of the world dictate our thought process. Did you hear me? We do not have to allow the things of this world to dictate our thought process, because it says he's at perfect peace, his mind is stayed upon the Lord. Let me say that again. He's at perfect peace, his mind is stayed upon the Lord. I can have perfect peace. Now, folks, whenever you read and study Word of God, it says you can have perfect peace. He's at perfect peace, his mind is stayed upon the Lord. Now, let me tell you what says whenever and what that means if you study the Scripture. The word peace, I talked about this all here a few weeks ago. I was talking about that. That word peace there actually is the in the original Greek. It goes back to the original Hebrew. The original Greek is translated from the original Hebrew idea of the word peace, meaning shalom. Shalom. He's that perfect shalom that whose mind is stayed upon the Lord. The word shalom there, or perfect peace, that's really not necessarily always exactly the meaning what we here in the United States of America tend to kind of sort of try to define that. What that word really, really means, in reality, it means to have 100% fulfillment. Let me say that again, 100% fulfillment. Now, that's what I'm trying to say. And you see, there's only one thing, one entity in this world, in this world or the world to come, in this world here now or the worlds to come, that can give 100% fulfillment, and that is the presence of the Lord. You see, folks, this is what happens. We get up every day, we go to work, or whatever we do. Usually what we are really trying to do is work to find that place of where we are calm and peace and fulfilled. And too many times we're turning to, there's many people, and I'm talking about Christians now, too often times Christians are turning to some sort or some kind of a pill bottle or some kind or some sort of things of this world, like your favorite minister or preacher or your favorite TV show or your favorite, you name it, you fill in the dots, your favorite, and you fill in whatever it is. You know, you work to find that moment where you sit down and then you watch it or you do it or what have you. And all at once, in that thing, you begin to find a fulfillment of peace. Now, let me state what I said, a fulfillment of peace. But the reality is that all you get from that is a fulfillment of peace, that the moment that thing or whatever it is that you are getting fulfillment from, whatever it may be, the moment you, like when the TV show goes off or the drug wears off or whatever, or the activity begins to wear off, whatever it is, you find your heart longing for more, longing for more. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that there's anything sinful about having something that you have somewhat of a peace from, but here's what I'm trying to tell you. There's only one thing that will bring the shalom peace that I'm trying to tell you about, and that's he's at perfect peace, his mind is stayed upon the Lord. You can have shalom peace from the moment you get up to you go to bed. And somebody said, now, wait a minute, Brother Emperor. I don't know about that. Well, the Bible says he's at perfect peace, his mind is stayed upon the Lord. I will say of my God, Psalms 91, the writer of Psalms 91, we believe that to be King David. King David said you could do it. He said in Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place abideth under the shadow of the Almighty. It's abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. It's walking in the presence of God on a daily basis, every moment, every waking moment. You get up in the morning, you begin to get your mind upon the Lord. You begin to read and study the Word of God. You begin to lift up your hands, an evening sacrifice. You lift up your voice of praise, the fruit of your lips, the voice of praise. You begin to cry out before God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, in that name, Jesus said, behold, in that name, in my name, thou shalt have power. In my name, you shall have power. Now, you can finish it up, but I'm simply quoting something. Jesus said, in my name, you shall have power. Now, it's very, very, very important to understand what Jesus means when he said, in my name, you shall have power. You see, when you learn to take the name above all names, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, it's very, very important to remember to say Lord or Savior, Lord Jesus, because no man can call God Lord. No man calleth Jesus Lord except by the Holy Ghost, as the Scripture says that. Let me say it again. No man calleth Jesus Lord except by the Holy Ghost. So when you can honestly mean Lord and Savior, and the Holy Ghost is leading you and guiding you, and you say, Lord Jesus Christ, what you have done as this opened up the heavens to dispel the spirits of darkness away from you. When you use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, for our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every vain imagination and bringing every thought into the obedience and captivity of Christ. Let me say that again. Bringing every thought, that's the thought. It's in the mind. It's in the intimate, in the being. It's the thought process of your being, the inner man, the inner woman. It's in the thought process. And you begin to use the name above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you begin to cry out before him. And remember, if you've let anything get a hold of your heart, let me say that again, if you let anything get a hold of your heart, what you got to do is begin to cry out in repentance before God upon it. If anything gets a hold of your heart and you begin to let the heart be dictated by the things of this world, all you got to do, we're talking about shalom peace. Shalom peace is cry out in repentance, confess that thing and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I have put some kind of idol before you, some kind of love, some kind of thing, something of this world has took precedence over you in my heart, and I cry out in repentance. I ask your forgiveness. Wash me, cleanse me, purify me, make me most holiness unto thee. Give me pure, holy, undefiled garments. Restore me to the joy of my salvation. And folks, when you begin to pray that from the essence of your heart, something begins to happen. You open up the windows of heaven, and you begin to close the door, the windows of heaven. You open up a portal in heaven, and that portal in heaven begins to open up. And when that portal of heaven opens up, you begin to have a power, a supernatural power begins to come into you. And folks, that's what you do when you get up in the morning and you seek God first, and you put you first, seek you first the kingdom of God, and all things shall be added there unto you. And as you begin to do that on a daily basis, or when your day starts, and the Holy Ghost begins to come up on you, you enter into a realm of another world. You're not walking into the world of this place of carnality of the flesh, the devil in the world, but you're walking into the realm of the heavenly portals of heaven. It's that heavenly realm that our new, the born-again experience of our new spirit begins to dwell in. And you're operating in that heavenly realm, in that heavenly place, and that heavenly calling, and the Holy Ghost begins to speak to you and guide you and lead you, and you can hear the voice of God. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto them. Let me go back again. Remember, I'm talking about being led, guided by the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. on a daily basis. Now, what happens, folks? Remember Jesus in the New Testament? Folks, remember in the New Testament, Jesus, as he is walking and talking, he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto your heart. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto his heart." Remember the book of Revelation that was dictated to John the Revelator by the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people think it's the words of John. It's not necessarily the words of John in the book of Revelation. It's the writings of John that was given to him by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in a heavenly experience. Whenever he had an open heaven experience, when the Lord Jesus came to him and the voice of God spoke to him, he said, "I heard the voice from behind say to me, come up hither and see what must shortly come to pass." And he said, "I was in the Spirit of the Lord's day when I heard a voice from behind me say, come up hither and see what must shortly come to pass." And he said, "Immediately I was in the Spirit." Well, folks, that was not limited to John the Revelator in AD 96, some 33 years after Jesus died. That's also for us today. When we enter into the Spirit, I can say I was in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, what is the Lord's day? Well, folks, now we do know that Sunday is called the Lord's day. But let me tell you something. Every day that we walk in the presence of God and we let the power of God dictate us and guide us and lead us in the Holy Ghost, every day is the Lord's day. Because this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So you can begin to walk in the presence of God every day, every hour, every moment. And that's where the shalom peace comes from. Remember what I talked about? The shalom peace of God. You can walk in it. He's that perfect shalom whose mind is stayed upon the Lord. So you begin to walk in that peace, walk in that joy, walk in that comfort, walk in that power, walk in that direction of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has led you and guiding you, and you can have a revelation experience. How do we operate in a heavenly experience and a heavenly calling on a daily basis? Easy. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things will be added therein too. It's real easy. It's a very, very easy thought process, folks. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing hard about it, folks. There's nothing hard. Nothing hard at all about it, folks. Nothing whatsoever. Now, as we are talking about this, God scares me, folks. It is the power of the Holy Ghost coming up on me now. But as we are walking, talking, and operating in the power and the presence and anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, folks, I want to tell you today, as we walk in that heavenly calling, as we walk in that heavenly spirit, as we walk in that heavenly supernatural experience of the Holy Ghost of God, we can have a daily, an hour, a moment, folks, the every waking moment of our life, we can walk in the presence of Almighty God. We can have that revelatory experience that I've talked about, where the voice of God comes and leads us, guides us, directs us. We can walk in that. Now, there's some of you, and I'm sure that there's some people listening to me that probably may be a little skeptical, folks. I have to admit that back when I first got born again many years ago and I heard these sermons being preached talking about these things, honestly, I too was a little bit skeptical at times about it. But, you know, here's what I did. It says that the just shall live by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. Those that come to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So what I began to do in my life is to diligently seek him. Did you hear me? God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, don't miss where we started. We're talking about getting up in the mornings and walking in the presence of God, diligently seeking him and letting the guidance and leadership of the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us. Now, if we will get up in that morning or whenever we start our day and we are diligence. Let there be this to walk in the presence of God, talk in the presence of God, walk with him, and let the power of the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us, and folks, walk in that here's what will happen. Remember, he says, if we are diligently seek him, he will lead us and guide us. He will lead us and guide us in all truths. That's what we should do when we're reading. When you're reading and studying the Bible, God's holy word, what does he say? And he will lead us and guide us in all truths. So we must allow ourselves to be led in all truths. This works in that. When you're reading and studying the word of God, folks, I'm telling you, it's better before you even open your Bible up. It is really better to take the time to let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you in all truths by what? Reading and studying the Word of God, folks. Reading and studying the Word of God, walking in the presence of God, walking in the power of God, walking in the anointing of God, leading the leadership guidance of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Now, folks, so as we talk about these things now, what I want to do is I want to come over now, and I want to change gears for just a little bit on this now, and I want us to look here now for just a few moments, folks, at the disciples when they walked and talked with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, they would be caught away. Whenever you go into the book of Acts, remember how I believe maybe it was Philip. It was, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, but if you go into the book of Acts, there was one of the apostles, and he had been preaching. He had been in a revival, and it said that he was caught away. It says the Spirit of God caught away. And he found himself out in a desert area. And when he found himself in that desert area, he ended up coming by a gentleman who was in a chariot. It said that this gentleman was in a chariot. And it turned out that this was a eunuch, and this was a eunuch that worked for a certain queen. And he was reading, and he had a scroll, I believe it was Philip, if I'm not mistaken on it. He ended up stopping and getting into the chariot, and he was talking with him, and this gentleman looked at him, and he had the scroll of Isaiah open, and he was reading and studying at the exact moment in the scroll where it said he was bruised for our transgressions. The iniquity of his peace was up on us, and for by his stripes we are healed. He asked him, does the prophet, is he speaking of himself, or is he talking about another? And the apostle there began to speak to him, and he said, oh, but he speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that door came open, and he preached the gospel to this man, and this man got saved. You see how important it is if we will learn to walk in the presence of God on a daily basis. Sometimes we will find ourselves in a certain place, in a certain area, in a certain position, in a certain place, and we may not even be where we was aiming to go. We may not have any intention on going. You know, we may have had an intention to go somewhere else, but all of a sudden God opens this door, and we end up going somewhere else. We end up in another situation. We end up somewhere else, and all of a sudden there's someone standing in front of us, and the Holy Spirit begins to quicken us, and we begin to give them the Word of God, just like in that chariot, and we begin the Word of God, and the next thing you know, the convicting power of the Holy Ghost falls, and tears begin to run out of them, and then they said, brethren, what must I do to be saved? And then you begin to lead them in a word, and you lead them in a prayer of repentance, and they confess their sins. You give them the plan of salvation. For the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. But then you begin to also go to Romans chapter 10. It says, what saith that the word is nigh in our mouth and in our heart, the word of faith that we preach, that if you'll believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in thy heart and confess with thy mouth Jesus Christ is Lord, thou shalt be saved. There's no difference between Jew and Greek. The same Lord, rich over all who believe. And they begin to they confess their sins and they ask Jesus to come in, and all of a sudden the witness of the Holy Ghost comes into their heart, and all of a sudden a transformation. There is a spiritual translation that results in a transformation. Let me say that again. There's a spiritual translation that results in a spiritual translation, that they get translated from death unto life, and a transformation takes place. They become born again, and a spirit that lived inside that person that was dead in trespasses and sin and on its way straight to a devil's hell and eternal lake of fire that burneth forever and forever. There is weeping and gnashing of teeth, an eternal separation from God, an eternal place of darkness. That soul that was on its way straight to a devil's hell, folks, all at once through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith and confessing and asking Jesus to come into their heart and receiving Christ, is immediately by the power of the Holy Spirit translated into the kingdom of God, and immediately they're born again, and they are changed from glory to glory, and then they come into the kingdom of God, and there, and behold, all things have passed away, all things have been made new. They are a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old man is dead, and the new man or new woman is resurrected to the newness of life, and they begin to cry, and they have the revelation and the witness, because his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and the witness of the Holy Ghost comes upon them, and they experience the witness, and they got the joy of heaven, and they begin to thank you, and they're born again. Hallelujah. And then all at once you come to the realization that because you got up in the morning, because you sought the face of God, because you walked in the presence of the Holy Spirit, because you got into the Word of God, because you gave yourself over to the Holy Ghost, faith, prayer, and the Word, and you rejected the flesh, the devil, and the things of this world, and you didn't get your mind up on carnality and the things of carnality, and you didn't let yourself to be dictated by the carnality of the flesh, but rather dictated, hallelujah, by the power of the Holy Ghost, walking in the revelation of who He is, that a soul has been birthed into the kingdom of God, and you know that an eternal existence has taken place. Oh, hallelujah, folks, that's what the Christian life is really all about, and that's what we are supposed to be doing, because when the church begins to live their life in this kind of transformation, when the church begins to live its life, I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we begin to realize that the book of Acts is supposed to be happening today. You see, the book of Acts wasn't written for us to look back and say, wow, boy, that was great back in their day, but that's all over and done with. Quite the contrary. It was written for our admiration, on which the world's the ends of the world has come upon. Again, it's written for our admiration and admonishment, upon whom the ends of the world has come. And we're supposed to be living the book of Acts. Are you writing your chapter of the book of Acts? You see, the book of Acts didn't end, and the last chapter of the book, what is that, Acts 26, maybe, I believe it is, and the last part where Paul had dwelt in Caesar's house a full 2 years, right there at the end of it, that's not the last of the book of Acts. That's just at the end of the writings, but that wasn't the end of the book of Acts, because we see there we have where that Jesus came and brought the revelation to John the Revelator. Folks, in AD 96, many years later, because the last part of the book of Acts was written, I think, in about the AD 60s, AD 70s. So we have some 20 years later, we got the book of the Revelation that was written, the revelation of Jesus Christ to John the Apostle, some 20 years after the book of Acts was written, as far as the events that are talked about in it. So, folks, we know that it doesn't end, and we know that John the Revelator, there. You know, he talks about the Spirit and the bride says, come. And he said, and Jesus, says in the last of the book of Revelation, the Spirit and the bride says, come. And then John goes on and says, even so, Lord Jesus, come. You see, we're supposed to be having the revelation experience ourselves on a daily basis. And folks, I'm telling you, a born-again Christian filled with the Holy Ghost can have a daily experience with God, just like the book of Revelation. A born-again Christian filled with the Holy Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus can have an Acts experience on a daily basis. Now, folks, I know I live my life this way. Now, I know that you may be responsibility bound to this world because of borrowing money, because of whatever. You just fill in the blanks, and you may have a lot of responsibilities. But, folks, there's one of two things that you can do. As a born-again Christian, you have the ability to do one of two things. Let the world dictate to you, or you dictate to the world. I'm going to say it again. You can let the world dictate to you, and you can let your life be bound and dictated by the events of this world, or you can let the events of the world be dictated by the power and the way the Holy Spirit leads and guides you. It doesn't mean you don't fulfill your duties, your responsibilities, what God leads you and guides you and has you to do. It don't mean that by no means whatsoever. You may have a board meeting you have to go to. You may have to go and work on the line. You may have to go dig a septic tank. You may have to be a pastor of the church, or you may whatever. You may be a home health care worker, and you may be out taking care of people, and you got responsibilities. But, folks, let me tell you this. You don't have to let the events of the responsibilities control your life as far as dictating your thought process. Rather, let the Holy Ghost of the Word of God on a daily basis by the revelation of the Holy Spirit help you, lead you, and guide you. And even though you may be that home, and this keeps coming back to me, you might be that home health, I believe there's a home health care worker listening. It keeps coming back into my spirit. But you might be a home health care worker, and you might be that home health care worker that's going out there and taking care of that person. And you read and study the Word of God, and you may have a word. God may be giving you a word on a daily basis to take care of that individual. Maybe you work for hospice, and maybe you're taking care of people that is in the last stages of their life and are going to be going home to be with Jesus, or maybe ready to, God forbid, die and go to hell if they're not saved, and the Holy Ghost leads you and guides you, and you maybe have that word. Just a simple word, it may be the very thing that causes them to get saved before they leave this world, folks. And, folks, I want you to wake up and realize something, and this is something that I think to the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely lost. I fear, as born-again believers, I fear that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has absolutely lost this thought, and that is this. Folks, we are in a temporal world, and we've got to learn to exist in a world that is eternal. This is a temporal world, but we need to exist in an eternal world. Now, eternity began the moment you got born. Now, folks, and by the way, listen to me. Careful what I say. Really, actually, that's an incorrect. Eternity began for every human being at the moment of conception. Let me rephrase that. Father, forgive me. I was going to make a point about it being born, but actually, let me go back. Eternity begins for every human being at the moment of conception. Once born into this world, you are growing and seeking, and living and growing. I mean, even when you're in the mother's womb, you're still an eternal being. Do you hear me? Eternity begins. Now listen closely, because I see here, I see our time's beginning to wind down a little bit, but I want you to get this, folks. Eternity begins at the moment of conception. The moment a human being is conceived in the womb of the mother, or when the egg, we live in a world now where they can actually take an egg, a man's seed, we call a sperm, and a woman's egg, they actually can take, they know now how to take that sperm, put it in that egg, fertilize it, and put it back into the mother and produce a human. Regardless, it's still God's, the one that gives the life. But here's the point. The moment that sperm meets up with that egg, and that egg immediately becomes a human life, there's an eternal existence there.
And that spirit, there's a spirit that comes from God and goes inside that egg. Then, actually, the moment the sperm goes into the egg, it's no longer an egg. It becomes an embryo. I should remember that because it's my last name with an O on it. Embryo. I find it's kind of funny sometimes. It's called an embryo. It's my very last name. Just put an O on it. That's what they used to call me in school, embryo, by the way. That was my nickname in school, embryo. But anyway, that egg becomes an embryo, and an embryo has an eternal existence. And, folks, that eternal existence of that life inside that embryo is either going to go to heaven or it's going to go to hell, one or the other. When that particular embryo or that life inside that existence, until it reaches the age of accountability, in which it knows the difference from right and wrong, it is not necessarily, it's not held accountable for its transgression. It's not even guilty of transgression till it reaches the age of accountability. But once that age of accountability comes in, once that moment, that embryo becomes a child, it becomes born, it moves on to a teenager, an adult, when it comes to the place and it knows the difference between right and wrong, it becomes accountable for its own sin, and its eternal existence becomes dictated by the decision it makes. I said its eternal existence becomes by the decision that it makes, and that decision of whether or not they will live for Christ and be born again, or reject Christ and die and go to hell, or never hear the gospel, it doesn't matter, folks, I'm telling you. The moment it knows the difference from right and wrong, its eternal existence becomes dictated, and I'm getting ready to close, that eternal existence is dictated by one thing and one thing alone. Do they receive Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, into their heart and become born again and go to heaven, living their life of Christ till they die, or do they die and go to a devil's hell? Folks, as we get ready to close this broadcast, our time's just about gone. As I close tonight, that should be the thing that should dictate our life. Every day you get up, that should be the thing that should dictate your life. Or whenever you start your day, that should be the things of eternal. Do we think on these things? Do we think on the things of the cause of Christ? Do we live our life for Christ Jesus? Do we live a life of a born-again experience? Are we writing our chapter of the book of Acts in this day and age? Or have we lost sight of the cross? Have you lost sight of the cross? Let me ask you a better question. Have you ever seen the cross? Have you ever been to Calvary? Have you ever come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Have you really ever have you ever been convicted of your sin by the power of the Holy Ghost and know that without Christ you'll die and go to a devil's hell and eternal lake of fire burning forever and forever? There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you ever confessed your sin and asked Jesus to come into your heart and be a born-again believer? Maybe you once knew him and rejected him, and now you're out in the world and you've rejected Christ. Folks, whether you've never truly been born again or whether you're in a backslidden state, this moment is for you. As we close out, I want to ask you to pray with me. And I want to ask you to pray with me. First for the lost, then for the backslider, and then for those who want to apply the principles of this Word of God tonight that I have preached to their life. Pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, we kneel down and pray in your name, Father. Lord, tonight, I confess I am a sinner. I confess that without Jesus, I will die and go to a devil's hell. I confess I've never really received you, Jesus. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to become my own personal Savior. I confess my sin. I ask you to forgive me. I receive your forgiveness. I receive you, Lord Jesus Christ, into my heart. I thank you for your salvation. I now believe that I'm born again, and I ask for the witness of the Holy Spirit to come into my heart, and I believe and receive your salvation. Let us pray this. Lord, I once knew you. I was backslid, living a life filled with the Holy Ghost, but now I'm just as backslid as they come. I'm just as far back. I've gone back into the world. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, my willful disobedience to thy word. Wash me, cleanse me, purify me. Make me most holiness to thee, Lord. I ask you to restore me to the joy of my salvation. Give me the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. Baptize me in your fire, and I receive your forgiveness. I receive the witness, and I receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire. I thank you, Father, for your forgiveness. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray. Now, as we close, I want you to pray this if you want the revelation of the word. Lord, I pray you'll give everyone listening to me out there tonight the revelation of the word I speak. Only by the power and the witness of the Holy Ghost in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it not come. Lord, I did not come to this listening audience with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I come in the demonstration and in the power of the Holy Ghost. I now release by faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ the demonstration of the Holy Ghost convicting power, signs, miracles, and wonders, Lord, to flow into everyone receiving this word. I declare and decree it done. I thank you, Father, for it. And, Lord, I believe supernatural experiences has happened by the word of God preached tonight, by the power of the Holy Ghost, by everyone who ever hears this Blog Talk Radio preaching. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. All right, folks, I thank you so much for allowing me to be with you tonight. Brother Kelly, I turn it back over to you.
Amen, brother. Oh, my goodness, wow. Yeah, you did have the Holy Spirit within you. You warned me about that. Wow. Let the revival begin, brother. Let the revival begin.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Well, brother, I've really enjoyed it. And so God bless you and all of our listeners tonight.
Amen to that. My friends, I'd like to thank you all for calling in tonight. And those who will download this program later, I would like to thank you as well because the Holy Spirit led you to call this program, to listen to this program, and for your heart to be touched by it, that somehow in your life that you needed to hear this, listen to these words that the Lord Jesus Christ gave Brother Johnny tonight. And if you need to repent of your sins, repent. If you're backslidden of your sins, come home and repent. If you want more of Christ Jesus in your life, study the Word of God. Be more like Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So my friend.
Hey, brother Kelly, I want to throw in a real fast. I want to throw a real fast plug in, real quick. Well, first off, I do believe that you're planning on me being back with you 1 week from tonight. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so I want to tell everybody to be sure and tune back in. I'll be back on with Brother Kelly here, my dear friend and brother in the Lord, next week. It's the same time. And tomorrow night, Wednesday evening, 6:30 U.S. Central Standard Time, if you will go to www.bethelfmi.org, click the menu, click Box 2 Radio Network, then click the listen button to Box 2 Radio Network. Off of that, again, it's www.bethelfmi.org, and then click the Box 2 Radio Network, and then listen. I will be on that 6:30 tomorrow evening. It's a pre-recorded broadcast. I'll be preaching on revival. So tune in and listen. And everyone have a great night.
Thank you, Brother Johnny. Everyone, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless your lives, and may you all walk with Jesus Christ who reigns forever. Amen.
All right. All right. All right. Talk to you later. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Good night, everybody.